Morning, everybody. How are we all doing this? Whoa. I'm going to move back a little bit. How are we all doing this morning? Good. Sweet. So before we begin, I just want to give a quick few shout-outs to my family and my friends who are watching from a couple of different parts of Ontario, a good few in Newfoundland and Labrador, and also some on the western half of the country. I also have the honor of having some fellow master's peers and a former professor of mine join us today. I also want to give a quick shout out to Pastor Peter. I know he's away on a well-deserved vacation, and he's almost back now, and I know he wishes he was here, but his trust in me to be here, to not be here this morning for my first time preaching, means the world. And I just want to give a shout out to Pastor Connie for being here. I'm gonna cry, but I'm not gonna try not to. Pastor Connie is a big reason why I get to do this and why I'm here right now. So I'm so grateful. So thankful for leaders who were always in my life, who just lifted me up to be able to do this, even when I really thought that I couldn't. So if you're here, or if you're tuning in online, I just want to let you know who I am. My name is Jason. I am the next generation pastor here at Warden. I oversee the youth and young adults ministries here, and I can't really believe it's already been 4 months. A lot may know, but for some who may not, but this was the church that I was raised in. So it is a blessing and an honor to share the word and what God has been placing on my heart with you today. I just want to take a minute to tell you a little bit about myself. I am 25 years old, very fresh out of Bible college. But before Bible college, I was a carpenter, and I did that for a couple years. It has been quite the journey to get here. To get to where I am now, it was a pretty frustrating process where my life trajectory felt pretty aimless for a long time, often chaotic, and most of the times feeling pretty frantic. So let me tell you a story from that journey to where I am now. I hope this story isn't too disheartening for some, but I want to tell you something from a pretty intense moment in this time. I am one of likely very few to have ever done this, and it's one of those things that when it happens once, it never happens again. Some of you who are here or who are listening online know that when I was 18, starting not long after I graduated high school, I worked at an airport, to be specific, St. John's International Airport in Newfoundland. I was what they called a ground service agent. So I was one of those people that when you're looking out your windows, that loads your bags into the plane, and you might be thinking, ah, you're one of those people that just breaks our bags. I promise you, I have never intentionally broken a bag or treated a bag in a way that could be broken. There was a lot more to just loading bags when it came to that job, though. One of my favorite duties I got to have while doing this job is the plane pushback, and there's a picture right there. So I was the one that was in the little tractor thing pushing out the planes, and it was so fun. I loved doing it. Every chance that I got to do it, I took it. If you're ever wondering, you know, when you've been on a plane and you leave the gate and the plane moves backwards, it's being done by one of those massive tractor kind of things. So this heavy metal bar, it's pretty long, gets attached to the plane, and then you attach it to the tractor. And so there was one of these mornings that I was working a full flight, and I was the shift lead. And one of my duties was a pre-flight inspection. So I would do a walk around the plane, check for any kind of damage, and it was all clear, so I thought. So one thing that always needs to be checked is to make sure that this tow bar is attached to the tractor. So you attach this bracket, or you attach the tow bar to this bracket, and then this giant steel pin goes down through the top of the bracket, through the whole of the tow bar and then through the bottom of the bracket, so it's locked into place and it has room to turn. So it's then locked into place. You might be able to make an assumption on where I'm going next. So I get in this tractor and go through all my pre-flight inspections, or pre-flight communications rather, with the captain. And the captain asks me if my pre-flight inspection is completed, and I said yes. And so he calls into air traffic control to get all the clear, get the all clear for pushback, and then he gives me the all clear to start pushing the plane back. So I start to do that, and here I am pushing the plane out. Everything is going really, really well, when all of a sudden I notice that the plane is going a bit faster than the speed I'm driving at. And then I look down and I see this tow bar start to drag along with the plane. I did not attach the pin correctly to the tractor I was driving. So here I am watching this Boeing 737, just like you see in the photo, roll away. And needless to say, I went into a full panic. My heart is racing, and I'm in this predicament where I feel where I'm the only one in control. And I think that's something a lot, if not all of us, have experienced at one point in our lives. Now, before we get into our scripture today, I want to take a bit of an unconventional approach to my message. I've titled my message, Be Still, Be Led. And so for the past little while, I've been reading through the Psalms. And one of the Psalms has just stuck out to me in no way a scripture passage has before. And that's Psalm 107. So now, before we get into reading the word, it's important to know the context and have a picture painted of what's happening in the previous chapters and why chapter 107 was written. For some of those who may not know, the Psalms are broken up into five books. The Psalms is a collection of 150 ancient Hebrew poems, songs, and prayers that come from different eras of Israel's history. 73 of these Psalms are connected to King David, who was a poet and a harp player. There are also many other authors involved. Asaph wrote 12 poems, the sons of Korah produced 11, and other worship leaders in the temple contributed as well. Two were connected to King Solomon and another to Moses. So nearly one-third of the poems, 49 to be exact, are actually anonymous. We don't know who wrote these. So we go to chapter 107. This is the beginning of book 5. It's the final book of the Psalms. Though it's the final book of the Psalms, chapter 107 actually shares many similarities from chapters 105 and 106. Which is in book 4. 105 looks back at God's intervention in the life of his people, looking at the patriarchs and the entrance into Canaan. 106 provides more of Israel's history, beginning with the Egypt events, moving to the wilderness period, and then alludes to the idolatry in the land, and then it comes to the Babylonian exile. So chapter 107 is the response to the petition in 106. And so those who were gathered in Jerusalem are instructed to look back at the end of the exile and in hope of the still unaccomplished restoration of Israel. So can we pray before we start the reading of the word this morning? Lord, thank you for today. We thank you for its word and its for your word and its continuous relevance in our lives. We thank you that it continues to be the living word and that is the working in every single one of our spirits. Lord, as I go through this message today, let my words not impress listeners, but they would instead glorify your name and what you have done and what you're doing and what you're going to continue to do, Father. Lord, I pray that you continue to use me as a vessel to communicate the word that you have for your people. Lord, I recognize that everyone here and online come from different situations, God, and so I pray for soft hearts, open minds this morning, and that your spirit would indwell in this place. In your name I pray, amen. Our scripture this morning is a bit long, so if you want to stay standing or stay sitting, that's completely okay. If you feel the need to stand during the reading of the word, you're completely welcome to. But we're going to be reading from Psalm 107 from verses 1 to 32. And again, I know it's long, but there's a reason that I extended it this much. So if you have your Bibles, if you have your phones, feel free to pull Psalm 107 out, and again, verses 1 to 32. It says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord tell their story, those he redeemed from the hand of the foe, those he gathered from the lands, from east and west, from north and south. Some wandered in desert wastelands, finding no way to a city where they could settle. They were hungry and thirsty, and their lives ebbed away. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their distress. He led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he satisfies the thirsty and fills the hungry with good things. Some sat in darkness, utter darkness, prisoners suffering in iron chains because they rebelled against God's commands and despised the plans of the Most High. So he subjected them to bitter labor. They stumbled and there was no one to help. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble and he saved them from their distress. He brought them out of darkness, the utter darkness, and broke away their chains. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. For he breaks down gates of bronze and he cuts through bars of iron. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent out his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them sacrifice thank offerings and tell of his works with songs of joy. Some went out on the seas in ships. They were merchants on the mighty waters. They saw the works of the Lord, his wonderful deeds in the deep. For he spoke and stirred up a tempest that lifted high the waves. They mounted up to the heavens and went down to the depths. In their peril, their courage melted away. They reeled and staggered like drunkards. They were at their wits' end. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. The waves of the sea were hushed. They were glad when it grew calm, and he guided them to their desired haven. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind. Let them exalt him in the assembly of the people and praise him in the council of the elders." Amen. I understand that that was a lot of reading in one go, so I want to take some time to just break down the passages section by section and what exactly was going on. So verses 4 to 9, we see that there was a group that was lost in the desert. They were absolutely directionless. Nowhere to rest their heads. They were starved, they were parched, and their lives were just withering away. Verses 10 to 16, we see a group of prisoners that are bound in chains in what the scripture describes as utter darkness. They were also working unbearable labor. Verses 17 to 22 we see a group that are facing a fatal sickness. Our scripture says that they couldn't eat and their bodies were weakened to the point that they were staring death right in the face. And then verses 22 to 32, there are these merchants that were out to sea. Our scripture describes the waves of the storm mounting high up to the heavens and then down to the depths. And for someone who has a pretty significant fear of open water, and Rough Waters, I would say that this one spoke to me the most. Now, as I was reading all of this, there was this common outcome to each of these cries out to God. They just had to stop and be still. They had to recognize that despite being in exile, they have a God that they came to realize is one of provision. And now I want you to picture this. Think of a lifeguard. And they're going out to someone who is fighting for their life. The person being rescued is thrashing around and panicking, and the lifeguard waits or talks them down until the person being rescued stops because they realize the person rescuing them is right beside them. So I want to get into my first point. Stop striving. Just be still. I know this is easier said than done, but it's just time that we have to take to do this. So when we look at our main passage, we see there are groups stuck in the wilderness, in prison, sicknesses, and storms. They could not get out of these things by themselves. When I think about this, I look to many examples of Jesus. There are so many examples throughout the Gospels where we see Jesus see a need to be still with the Father when there is so much going on around him. In Mark 1, after a really busy day of healing, we see Jesus went off in solitude to pray. And in this time, it was when Jesus was led to another village to continue his ministry. Jesus realized in these moments that he needs to be still with the Father and let him lead the way. In the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew 26, Jesus knew the plan that his Father had for him on the cross. Jesus knew that. I can't even imagine just knowing that you were going to be put through one of the most excruciating deaths ever known in history. I know for myself, I don't think I would ever be able to just be still and let God lead in that, knowing that that was my fate. But here's Jesus going off into a place of solitude where he's saying, not my will, but yours. He is letting God lead in this. So if Jesus had to put aside everything that was going on and be still with the Father, we ought to do so as well. If we don't, just like the person panicking in the water, the one that's being rescued by the lifeguard, while the lifeguard is on their way out to rescue them, the more and more they're gonna sink. So my second point is this. We need to cry out and let God in. There was a massive turning point in each of these stories throughout our passage. And it was, then they cried out to the Lord, in their trouble. In this moment, each of these groups were facing terrifying fates in their minds. They were facing death, not just death, but just suffering and being hungry and being parched, not having water, not having food to eat, being in these high waves. I don't know what I would do in these moments. But they would have to stop in these moments and cry out to God. They had to be still in order to cry out and receive what God had for them. And so I look to the New Testament again, where we see the disciples in Mark 4. We see the disciples out fishing, and it's important to note that the disciples were veteran fishermen. They knew what they were doing. And so I know for myself, if there's something that I have become pretty good at, I've become pretty stubborn when it comes to stepping back and asking for help. So we see these seasoned fishermen in the midst of a storm. More than likely, they have something that they have seen before. This is something that they've seen. This is probably something that they've experienced. And they cry out to Jesus, who's sleeping down in the bottom of the boat. They say, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" We see this turning point where the disciples cry out. Jesus stood up and stilled the storm. Just like that. We see that this perfectly mirrors out our passage today in verses 28 and 29. Then they cried to the Lord. It says, then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distress. He stilled the storm to a whisper. We go back to our drowning swimmer waiting for the lifeguard. The disciples had to stop relying on their own skill, despite their skill level. And they called out to Jesus, and what did Jesus do? He stilled the storm. I was waiting for an answer there, but that's okay. So here's my third point. Be led. Experience rescue. In Psalm 107, God doesn't just save his people from trouble. He leads them into safety and purpose. The wanderers in the desert weren't just rescued from hunger and thirst. It says he led them by a straight way to a city where they could settle. It wasn't just a temporary place for them to find rest and keep going to in exile. It was where they would settle. The prisoners weren't only released from darkness. He broke their chains and brought them out into freedom. The sick weren't only spared from death. It says he sent out his word and healed them. The sailors weren't only spared from the storm. It says he stilled the waves. He didn't just still the waves. He guided them to their desired haven. In every case, God not only rescued, he also guided. I know there's a lot of parents in this room right now. I'm not one of them. I am a son, though. And myself, as well as many others, experienced walking through a parking lot when they were younger. And our parents would say, hey, hold my hand. And so my parents were guiding me to where I was going, but also keeping me safe and keeping me out of danger. The same pattern is fulfilled in Jesus. In the New Testament, we see him as the one who leads the lost home. Like the shepherd going after the lost sheep in Luke 15. He breaks chains like when Peter was freed from prison in Acts 12. He heals the sick like the paralytic lowered through the roof in Mark 2. He calms storms like we talked about earlier in Mark 4 when the disciples feared for their lives. And ultimately, Jesus rescues us at the cross, delivering us from sin and death, and then leads us into resurrection life. The death on the cross wasn't the deciding factor. It was the resurrection that brings us into resurrection life. Being led means more than being rescued. It means trusting God's direction after the rescue as well. He doesn't leave us where he found us. He pulls us out of the water, like our lifeguard, but he also brings us to the shore. He doesn't just pull us up and so we can breathe for a bit. He pulls us up and then leads us to the shore. He saves us from sin, but he also leads us into abundant life. John 10:10 says, "The thief only comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." So the challenge for us today is this. Are we letting God not just rescue us in moments of crisis, but also lead us into daily peace, purpose, and obedience? Rescue is only the beginning. Being led, being still, and then letting God lead is the journey. So let's go back to my story from the beginning. So here I see this plane rolling away from me. I'm in full panic mode because this plane is actually headed for a ditch. It doesn't show that in the photo, but there is a ditch behind the plane. My heart is racing and I don't know what to do. I have this headset on to communicate with the captain, and I call out to him and I said, "Hey, I need you to put the parking brake on." And then the plane continues to roll. And then I had a bit more panic in my voice. I said, Captain, I need you to put the parking brake on." The plane continues to roll. And then finally, I yell out, and I'm not going to yell too loud, but I said, "Hey, I need you to put the parking brake on." And then the plane comes to a stop. Finally, the captain communicates to me and says, "Hey, I heard you the first time." And that just, he said, "That just takes some time to do, but don't worry, we had it under control." So, after the plane comes to a stop, we got the tow bar attached to the plane again, or to the tractor rather, and I finished the pushback, and I went off completely safe. So, as you can see, we went back to the picture of the plane. One thing you can notice is when you're driving one of these tractors, all you can see is directly what's in front of you. Like the wheel, the tow bar, that's it. The pilots are up above you, and you can't see what they're doing. All you have is this headset. This clear line of communication. And they could hear me in that moment of panic. I just couldn't see what they were up to. After that flight I worked, I just had to continuously assure myself that when I called something out to the pilot, that they knew what they were doing. When we call out to God, we can be assured He knows what He's doing. He's been doing this for a long time. So what I've been saying is not just to cry out to God for things and then swipe it under the rug and let God deal with it. It involves us continuously working and striving towards what God has for us. When we do these things, it helps us realize, yeah, this is a lot of work, but I don't have to do it alone because I have a good God. We start to recognize the character of God in these processes. Going back to the Psalms in Psalm 46, it says, "Be still that and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth." I'll be completely transparent with you. As I was writing this message, I was feeling a bit hypocritical. Being still and letting God lead in things has not been my strongest suit. This has been a long process for me. I've lived in 5 cities in the past 2 years, constantly moving around and figuring out what the next step is. It's hard in those moments to be still and to be led. But once I started here at Warden, I started to realize, oh yeah, I'm getting settled. I really started to make a point of this. I started to try and find tangible ways to do things in order to be still and just sit in the presence of God and just let Him lead. We live in a busy city, but this thing that I've been doing is I just go for walks. I went from Young and Shepherd area all the way down to the harbor front one day. Just walked all along Young Street. And that's not to hype me up, but there's the point to this. And it might sound silly, but what I would do is if I'm approaching a light and it only has a couple seconds left, your natural instinct is to just run and get that light. Hurry through what you're doing. Okay. I would instead stop and just take time to pray. Take time to be still in those moments. Honestly, it seems so small, but being still and taking those moments with God has been life-changing for me. So as I wrap up, I actually want to do something. I understand that there may be a few of us who have this down to a science. You have that time allotted throughout your everyday lives to do this, to be still in the presence of God. But what I want us to do is to just take a minute. It's going to be a minute. And be in this moment and think of something tangible that we're going to try and work into our lives to slow down and be with God and let Him lead. I get that we live busy lives, and I actually believe God understands that. I know that like it says in Psalm 46, He wants us to be still and know that He is God. He wants us to recognize the power that He has and comfort that in love that surpasses everything going on in our lives. I fully recognize that our scripture was a really long one today. I could have just read one of those stories easily. But by reading all of them, we really begin to understand who God is. And there's going to be a lot of times in our lives where we need to stop, be still, recognize that our Savior is with us. And when we realize this, He can lead us to wherever He is calling us. And it can be terrifying. I've experienced this. It's terrifying when He calls you into something so different, so new, whatever it is. But we know that time and time and again, He is a God of rescue and He is a God of provision. So let's take 1 minute. Let's think about something. Just, it can be, again, the tiniest thing. If it means stopping when a light is down to 9 seconds and just taking that time to just stop and not rush that light. It can be something so small as that, because something so small, it's when God begins to speak with us. He speaks when we are still, when we want to hear Him. So let's take 1 minute to do this. And I'm going to do it too. I'm going to do it too. So Lord, as we reflect on who You are and what You've done and what You're going to continue to do, God, Lord, I pray for everyone in this room right now, for people who are watching online, Lord, that they would find this time, whether it's 5 minutes a day, 10 minutes a day, half hour, an hour, whatever it is, to just be still with You, Lord. that we can just take this time out of our busy lives to just be with you, to understand who you are, God. And Lord, if it's someone's first time hearing a message like this today, God, speak to them, soften their hearts, God. That you would work through their lives and just, whether there's this busyness, this anxiety, these struggles that we face, God, in our everyday lives, that those would be cast aside just for a bit so we can be still with you. Ultimately, that you would rescue us from these things, God, and that you would lead us because we know that you're a good God. We know that you're one that provides. We know that you're one that rescues. We know you're one that leads us by straight paths, God, that you make our path straight. So, Lord, I just thank you for every single person that is in this room. Thank you for your words today. Thank you for the way that you're speaking and working through people, God. So, Lord, I just pray as we continue throughout our day that we can just find time to be still with you, Father, and that we can continue just to live our lives being led by you. So bring everyone home safe today. Bringing everyone safe next week and the week after, God. But just we just thank you for every single life that's in this room and listening online, Father. In your name I pray. Amen.